19.
Tell you what, let me just read this entire chapter, and I know it's familiar, but that's good. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights, unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering in the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return my way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abimeleloah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And of him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. Let's stop reading right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you, my Heavenly Father, for this day. Father, I thank you for the good spirit that's been here this morning. Lord, I just want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy upon my life, Lord. And God, I ask that you please, Lord, just help us as we stand to preach. Father, we acknowledge that without you we can do nothing. And Lord, I just ask that you just have liberty this morning, Lord, to do the work upon each and every heart, Lord, in this congregation, Father. I ask that you just accomplish the work that you'd have done today, Lord. And Father, just help us. We'll give you the praise and glory for everything that's done. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, prior to what we've read, God has been using this man called Elijah. Israel has turned to Baal worship. Elijah has went, and they've had this big confrontation on Mount Carmel. They were going to have a test to prove who the true and the living God was. He tells all the prophets of Baal, we're going to build two altars. You put the sacrifice, you cry out to Baal, and I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to cry out to God. And the one that answers by fire, he's going to be God. And so the prophets of Baal, they're cutting themselves, they're crying out. They do all day and nothing happens. Elijah gets done. He says a prayer of 63 words. The fire God falls. The people then, in acknowledgement, they turn back to God and they kill all the prophets of Baal. Elijah then prays and ends the 3.5-year drought that they have been experiencing. And so then we get to chapter 19 and we see a completely different side of Elijah. Jezebel tells him that she's going to kill him. This man that was so bold to stand in front of a nation and speak on behalf of God, now he's running away. And in verse 9, here's what God asked him. The latter part of the verse, What doest thou here, Elijah? And God repeats it again in verse 13. What doest thou here, Elijah? Here's what we understand, what we can take from these verses. This was a journey that Elijah chose to take and not God. Had God directed him to do this, God wouldn't be asking, what are you doing here? Prior to this event, every time Elijah's moved, you see the word of God came. The word of God came, and you know what he did? Told him to go to Brook Cherith. The word of God came again, told him to go down to Zarephath. You go back to, we won't turn, you can go back to chapter 18. The word of God came to him and told him to go show himself to Ahab. But you know what? The word of God appeared nowhere in this telling him, you need to flee. You need to run away. We do not read anywhere where God told him to flee Jezreel. And so based on that response, the fact that God's not telling him, here's what I'm saying. It's really not God's will for Elijah to be where he's at. God says, what are you doing here? Now, with that statement, here's two questions that come to my mind. Why did Elijah decide to take this journey? God has just used him to turn an entire nation back to God. They've got rid of all the false prophets. God's blessed the nation. The rain has come back. Does it not appear to you that this will be a perfect time to instruct and educate people in the way of the Lord? I mean, you have people that, those no doubt people, that all they've ever known is serving Baal. Now they've turned to God. Is this not a great opportunity that you can share the truths of God's word with them? They need instructions. They're new converts. Somebody said that. They need instructions. They need help. What message does it send when the man of God, when the preacher runs away? It doesn't send a good one, does it? We know that Jezebel was angry and wanted to kill him. But let me say this, making the ungodly angry with the truth is just part of the believer's life. The ungodly are always angry with the truth from the Word of God. You stand for the truth, they're going to be angry with you. You identify sin and you get specific with it, people don't like it. Speak in general terms, they have no problem. You get down and you just call people out, what you're doing is wrong according to the Word of God, they get angry. And so here's a man, Jezebel is angry with him. She says she's going to kill him, and he runs away. Now, let me ask you this. Is Elijah doing what's best for the cause of Christ or doing what's best for him? He's taking this journey. God's not ordered it. He is taking this journey because it appeals to the desires of his flesh. The journey that he's taken, he's leaving his place of service, he's going down here, and he's doing that based on the fact that is what his flesh wants to do. His focus has shifted from the Lord to himself. You know what I see all the time among God's people? They're taking journeys that God never intended for them to take. They know truth, they've served God, they've been doing things, but because of the desires of their flesh, now they're going to go on a tangent. We're going to go a different path than everybody else, and God never ordained it so. They're following the desires of their flesh. Just like Elijah, they lose focus on God, and now it's just whatever the flesh desires, that's what's leading and directing their steps. But notice this in verse 5. It says that he lay and slept during Judah, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat because the journey is too great for thee. On this misguided journey, here's what I see. God's still giving him the strength to take it. God knows where he's going. I mean, even though God's asked him, Elijah, what doest thou here? He knows where he's going. He knows that he's following the desires of his flesh to flee. But yet, what do we see God doing? He's still providing for him. It just gives testimony to the mercy and the grace of God that even when we choose to go on that different path, that he still takes care of us and provides for us. There's a lot of people that try to use God's blessings as justification that God's pleased with what they're doing. I mean, we're going contrary to the word of God, but look how God's blessed us, what we have when we got this. Here's what I remind you of. Lot was a man that had God's blessings, wasn't he? Man, he had cattle, he had the prestige, he had everything the world said he needed, but where did it end up? He could have easily said, hey, I'm down here in Sodom, but you know, look at what all we got. God's blessed me with children, I got a good job, I got money, everything. God is pleased with what I'm doing. Not so. You know what? He lost it all. God in His mercy and His grace is providing for the needs of Elijah, and he is following the steps that his heart wants to take. God has not ordered this direction at all. Bible says he for 40 days and 40 nights, verse number 8, that he made this journey to Mount Horeb. And when he gets there, here's what God says. What doest thou here, Elijah? That word here is Elijah's current position. That is the place in his spiritual journey that is right then at that moment. That is where he's at. In his current spiritual position, his here, so to speak, can he be used by God? He can. He's not where God wants him to be. Following the desires of his flesh, letting his fleshly desires direct his steps, guess what Elijah's found out? He's reached a place to where he's unusable. And as long as Elijah stays here, as long as he stays in his current place in this journey, he's of no use to the cause of Christ. Here's where we're going to look at this morning. I want to ask you this, are you unusable? In your current spiritual position, this spiritual journey that you embarked on the day you got saved, in this current position, you're here, so to speak, is God able to use you? Where you are at right now, are you usable? Or does God look at where you're at right now and say, just as he did Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you where you're at now? Have you journeyed a long way from where you started? Are you at a place spiritually that you know that God never intended for you to be? Here's Elijah, a man that embarked on a journey following his flesh, and he ends up in a place that he's unusable. What do we see about Elijah that made him unusable? And what's it going to take to get back to the place where he can be used by God? Let me give you three little points and we'll be done. Elijah's here. When God said, "What doest thou here?" In his current spiritual position, I want you to notice something. He's resting on past accomplishments. Notice what he says in verse number 10. And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." I have been. Here's what he's referring back to, what just took place on Mount Carmel, how the entire nation of Israel, they've turned back to God. Why is he not saying, "I am very jealous for the Lord of hosts"? I mean, God says, he's telling God, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." That's past tense. He's not saying, "I am very jealous." Here's a man that's looking back on the past. He's telling God what he did in the past, and you are never going to accomplish anything for the cause of Christ when all you can do is focus on what you used to do. That's just how it is. And there's a lot of people, that's exactly how they are. They're looking at what I used to do, those past accomplishments. Do you know there are church members, their entire identity is on what they used to be? That's it. I used to teach, and I used to do this, and I used to do that. You know what God's interested in? What are you doing now? God said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" God is concerned about the present. God didn't say, "Elijah, where you been?" He said, "What are you doing here?" God wants to know where you're at now. God don't care. Hey, what you did in the past doesn't matter. Paul said, we've been looking at it in Philippians. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Here's what Paul's saying there. All my failures, I forgot about it. But all my past accomplishments, I forgot about them too. Every day, Paul looked for an opportunity. He treated every day as if he had never done anything for the cause of Christ. He got up every day with the mindset, I'm looking for an opportunity to serve because yesterday doesn't matter. There's a lot of people. Here's where Elijah's at. Elijah may have been very jealous for God in the past, but where is he now? You know what he is? He's in a place of defeat. And all he can do is think about what he has done in the past and what it used to be. Let me ask you this, if you were to be honest, and I do, I want just evaluate where you're at on your spiritual journey. Are you what you used to be? I mean, that is just a question that really we should all be asking ourselves. Are you the man or the woman that you used to be? Hey, and there's no age. It can happen to young, old. Elijah's not a young man. Hey, this is a seasoned man of God that's done things for the cause of Christ, made a mark for the cause of Christ, but right now, you know what? He's not where he needs to be. God asked him, what are you doing here? Is God asking you that same question this morning? All you can do is just look upon past accomplishments. That is your identity of who you used to be as a child of God. What are you today? Is your spirituality, is it just reduced down to just a memory of how things used to be? Because today you're just unusable. That's where Elijah's at. It was a place of pride. Place of past accomplishment. It's a place of pride. Notice what he says in verse 10 again. It says, and I only am left. Lord, I'm all that you got. Lord, everybody has turned their backs upon you except me. Is that a true statement? Think about what just happened on Mount Carmel. I mean, the entire nation turned back to God. But what's he focused on? Lord, it's me. You know what will make you unusable? Pride. There's a lot of believers that think so highly of themselves that God can't even use them. Nobody has the standards and convictions that I do. They find fault with everything. They're critical of everything. And they feel like they're just on such a higher spiritual plane. God can't use them. Nobody can teach or sing as good as so-and-so can. Nobody has knowledge of the word or desire for the things of God like I do. You know what it is? It's just pride. Here's what you need to never forget. If you feel like you have a good Bible knowledge, guess where you got it? God gave it to you. The Holy Spirit is to lead and guide us into all truth. If you think that you are wiser on the Bible than anybody else, you're nothing. It's just simply because God's told you and he's not told them yet. You say, well, I can sing and I can teach better than anybody. You know why you have that ability? Because God gave it to you. That is it. There is nothing in ourselves that we have anything to boast of when it comes to service for the Lord. If you have a desire to do something for the cause of Christ, where'd it come from? You didn't generate it, I promise you that. It came from God. Elijah's at a place that God can't use him anymore. And here's why, because he's just looking at me. Lord, I'm all you got. I'm the only one. We're nothing. All that we can possibly say in any kind of service we do for God is that I was simply submissive to do what he told me to do. Have nothing to brag about. God hates pride, and when you start thinking that you've arrived and you've done something and the church can't make it without you, God can't use you. Elijah thought he was the only vessel God would work through. Elijah's at a place he's unusable. It's a place of panic. Elijah tells the Lord that he's here because he's fleeing for his life. Notice he says, latter part of verse 10, they seek my life to take it away. There is no they. You know who sought his life? Jezebel. One. There's no they. Here's Elijah. Here's really what he's saying. He's allowed fear to cause him to neglect his place of duty. When we get to the place when we allow fear of persecution to keep us from proclaiming truth and for standing for what's right, God's not going to be able to use us. Have you reached a place in your life when you no longer identify sin? That you're watching something on TV and the language just starts pouring out, but no longer do you say, turn that filth off, we're not going to listen. You just sit and listen to it. Are we afraid to line our lives up with the Word of God because we're afraid what other people are going to think about it? Are you afraid to do what's right because you're afraid of what your family will say? I've seen homes where the parents refuse to stand for truth because they know it's going to upset the children. I could tell you of a home right now that is in complete shambles. It is absolutely destroyed, and here's where it started. Because they let the little teenager tell mom and dad how they were going to walk spiritually. Mom and dad knew something was wrong, but because it was going to affect the kid said, you know what, we're not doing that. I'm not going to do it. And mom and dad just cowered down. And you know where the home is now? They're divorced. It is an absolute, every life involved in it is in complete shambles. Here's why. Because mom and dad was at a place in life where they just were not going to stand for truth. You know what? Stand for what thus saith the word of God. If it offends my children, if it offends my parents, it does not matter. You got to get to the, if you're not going to, if you live in fear of persecution that's going to come, whether it be from the world or your family or whoever, you're not going to accomplish anything for the cause of Christ. You're unusable. Elijah said, they're going to take away my life. He's fearful. And wait, let me say this. I understand he's referring to death. But you know what? When you purpose that you're going to serve God, guess what it's going to involve? You giving your life to him. You do what God asks of you to do and you get in the church and serve him. You don't have time for other things. The church is my life. And let me say this. We have brought our children up that the church is their life. You know what? When we get saved, hey, we're going to church. It doesn't bother them. They love it. They're the last ones. You can watch Ben and Kevin. They'll be the last ones to leave by every night. They're just out here. They're out here early. They're out here late. They love it. You know why? Because that's how they were brought up. It would have been easy to, the whole philosophy is, you don't want to push the church too much, or when they get older, they'll flee from it. You'll just shove it down our throat. That is just a lie straight from the pits of hell. I have pushed the church upon my kids. We've been involved in anything we could get, and you know what? They love it. The church is their life. That whole we don't want to push too much on them and make their life, that is just a way to you to justify that you can fulfill the desires of your flesh instead of submitting to the Word of God. Here's where Elijah's at. He's at a place that he allowed his heart, the steps of his desire, so to speak, to direct his steps. And he has reached a place in life, and here's what God's saying to him. What are you doing here? You know what God's instructions were for him? Look at verse 15. And the Lord said to him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Here's what God told Elijah to do. Just return. Leave here. Leave this place of where you're of no use. And go back to your place of service. Go back to the place when I can use you. Go back to that. Now, let me say this. Does God send a miracle of a whirlwind to pick him up and take him back to where he fled from? No. You know what Elijah had to do? He had to purpose that, you know what, I'm going to go back. You know how he got to, let me say this. He didn't get to where he's at by one step. 40 days and 40 nights he traveled to get to the place to where God says, what are you doing here? To get back, you know what it's going to take? Step at a time. One step at a time to purpose that I'm going to get back to where I used to be. And it wasn't up to Elijah to decide how he was going back. Notice the Lord said, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Elijah didn't have, here's what God said, this is how you're going to return. It's the word of God that is directing him on how he's going to get back to where he's supposed to be. If you find your place, if you're in that place to where you're like Elijah, you're looking at the past, what you used to do, you're prideful, maybe you're afraid to stand for the truth, God can't use you. And if you want to get back there, it's going to happen one step at a time. You have to purpose, I'm getting back to what I used to be. Elijah departed, and he did it one step at a time. Here's a great truth, and you need to write this down. You need to let this come to your mind every morning. The choices you make today will determine your spirituality tomorrow. you choose today, you know what, I'm going to compromise a little bit. What, this is wrong. It's not, I know it's wrong, but I'm just going to do it today. You know what? It's going to affect your spirituality tomorrow. You need to, every decision, you need to get up tomorrow morning with that mindset. Every decision I make today, I'm going, there's going to see the spiritual consequences of it tomorrow. You go tomorrow and you don't read and you don't pray and you have no fellowship with God, you know what? It's going to affect you Tuesday. God told Elijah to return. That is the same message that he's got for every one of his children that have allowed the desires of their flesh to lead them to a place that they're unusable. Why was it necessary for him to go back? I mean, he could have easily just said, you know what? I did a great work. God, you know what I've done and how you used me to turn the entire nation back to you. Lord, I'm finished. I'm just done. God gives him three reasons why he needs to return. Number one, verse number 15 again. It says, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. He says, there are nations that need to be established. God told him to anoint Hazael over Syria, Jehu king of Israel. The hope for those nations, you know who they're resting in? Elijah going back and doing what he's supposed to do. Do you know why our nation's in the shapes it's in? Because God's people have not been what they were supposed to be. Through the past 50 years, two generations, whatever you want, had God's people stood for the truth and obeyed what they knew God told them to do, our whole country would be different than it is today. You know why we need you to return? Because our land, our community needs you. They need somebody that they can look to that's going to stand for what's right, that's going to identify sin, proclaim the truth, promote the truth, and live the truth, and just refuse to compromise. These nations are dependent on Elijah returning. There's another generation that has to be taught. Notice what he tells him. Verse 16, and Elijah's son Shaphat of Abimelech shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Elijah, you got to go back because you got to bring up somebody to take your place. There's another generation coming on. Somebody's got to teach and train them. You know why that God needs you to return from where you're at right now? That he needs you back to that place to serve? Because we have a, look at all the young people we have here. They need somebody to teach them. They need somebody to help them find the right path. What lesson is your life teaching my children? I mean, do they look at you and by your actions and the life you live, you're teaching them that the Word of God's true in all things, that God has the preeminence in everything that we do? Or they look at you and your life teaches them you don't have to listen to the Word of God. Do what you want to. What message is your life teaching? See, here's the thing. What's going to help our children is when all of our lives are proclaiming the same truth. When everyone in here is in unity and agreement that the Word of God is true, that we obey it, that we're faithful, that we live holy, godly lives, and we're all in agreement and we're all doing it, you know what? That is the only example that our children have to see. What is confusing to them is when they're watching this group do one thing and this group do something completely contrary to it. And it's like, you know what? Most churches, you can pick the kind of Christian you want to be in. You want to be lukewarm, then follow this little group. You want to be sold out, follow this little group. And if you want to be casual and mediocre, then follow this group right here. You can pick how you want to serve God. And that's why churches are in the shape they're in today. There's examples that need to be set. He tells him, look at verse 18. Yet if I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him. Elijah, you got to return because these people need a godly example to follow. 7,000 people, never bowed to Baal. They need somebody that's going to lead them. Church, we don't have enough godly examples today. Not everybody in church can be followed. Paul's, Philippians chapter 3, we talk about in Sunday school, Paul calls them enemies of the cross. Their God is their belly. They feed the desires of their flesh. They have no shame about the decisions they're making. They're carnal believers. And this is what made it so dangerous in Paul's day and what is so dangerous today. Those enemies of the cross, they're sitting on the pews. That's where they're at. There are people that if you follow them, all they're going to lead you to is a life of heartache and spiritual destruction. That's where they're going to take you. We need you to return because we need godly examples. When we let the desires of our flesh direct our path in life, it's always going to lead to a place that we're unusable. It happened to Elijah and it happened to us. If you are here this morning, just take a minute and evaluate where you're at spiritually. You didn't get where you're at now overnight. And it's going to be a journey to get back where you're supposed to be. But you know, why don't you just by faith just step out and take that first step and just say, God, if you will help me, I'll get back where I used to be. I remember a time in my life when I faced this very thing. A time in my life when I knew I was not what I needed to be. By the world's standards, I was doing good. I had everything the world said I needed. I mean, in their eyes, it looked like I had everything, but here's what I had. What I didn't have, rather, is I didn't have any peace. I knew that this was the life that I was living. Here's what I knew. I knew that it was not the life that God had for me to live. And I can remember sitting in my bedroom and just weeping and begging God to just help me get back to that place of service. And you know what he did? The decision I made that night forever changed my life. I made that decision 30 years ago. Wasn't married, didn't have any children. I was just a single man just trying to find his way. But that night, oh God, if you will help me to get where I need to be, I will live my life for you. And I got a home. I got children wanting to serve God. Got a good church. I mean, I can just start through. I mean, what would have happened had that night I told God, God, this is just the life I want. God, I know, but God, this is what I desire to have. You know what? My life would be a complete wreck. But because when God questioned me and said, what are you doing here? This isn't a life I have for you to live. Because I responded the right way. And I said, God, if you'll just help me to get back, God, I'll serve you. God, that's what I want to do. This is not the life you have for me. I've messed up. Help me to get back to where I need to be. I can look back upon my life and I can just see God's unseen hand just moving people out of my life, moving other people in my life, all the things that he just did. But it all came down to just one simple decision. And that's really, I preached this morning, and that's all I'm going to ask you. I'm just going to ask you this morning, just make one simple decision. Number one, here's what you need to do. You've got to evaluate where you're at spiritually. Take the time and look. Do you have to, like Elijah, is your spiritual evaluation of yourself looking back at what you used to be? God's concerned about what you are now. Do you think that, are you just prideful and think that you've arrived and you got something nobody else does? Maybe you're just afraid to stand for the truth because of who's going to offend. Whatever it may be, here's the question, what are you doing there? God wants to get you back to the place of service where he can use you. God needs you. God has a work for each and every one of us to do. And here's all I'm asking you this morning. Will you return? The decision you make right now may determine the next 30 years of your life. What are you going to do? If you know that you're not what you used to be, what you're supposed to be, you want to just walk out the doors and just dismiss it and go on, God will let you. And you know what? His hand will be off of you from this point forward. You're not usable. But if you want to serve God and Him use your life to make a difference in the lives of others, you're going to have to return to Him. Let's stand this morning and bow your heads. If God's dealing with your heart, the question comes down to what are you going to do with it? Just be honest enough, if you're not what you used to be, just return and ask God to help you. That's all He told Elijah. He didn't rebuke him. All He told Elijah, listen, just return to me. Just get back to that place of service where I could use you. The decision you make today could very well affect the rest of your life.